Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things I have done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. I thank you that you died on the cross for me, and that you were raised from the dead for me, so that I could be forgiven and set free. I thank you that you offer me forgiveness, the gift of your Holy Spirit, and abundant life in your everlasting kingdom. I now, by faith, receive you and your gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me now and forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If today was a day of decision, will you let me know so I can rejoice with you and share with you next steps in Christian discipleship? You can email me at missioncharlottesville@gmail.com. I promise you I will respond to your email. After hearing today's message, I invite you to come and join with us this morning for in-person worship with the congregation of Mission Charlottesville. We meet at 10 o'clock a.m. at the Hillsdale Conference Center, located at 550 Hillsdale Drive here in Charlottesville, Virginia. Thanks for listening today, and join with me next Sunday at 9 o'clock a.m. for another message from the pulpit of Mission Charlottesville. God bless you today and always.
The Washington Capitals.
Run the race.
In Central Virginia. With COVID-19, the schedule has been fluctuating, so make sure you're checking online for the most up-to-date schedules at WCHV.com and stay tuned for your next Washington Capitals game
on Seaville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
The CBS 19 Weather Authority forecast: a beautiful day today with partly cloudy skies and afternoon highs around 70 degrees. Clear skies overnight tonight, not nearly as cold, lows falling to the middle 40s. More sunshine on Monday, temperatures reaching the lower 70s. Sunshine Tuesday morning with increasing clouds in the afternoon and highs in the middle 70s. I'm CBS 19 Chief Meteorologist Travis Koshko for Seaville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. I'm excited to be with you today to share some of God's Word. It's Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. It's a great day to be with you. This program is intended to be your spiritual cup of coffee. And on the show, we share faith journeys and testimonies. We have some fun, and we're thankful that you're joining us today. We like to start the program with a scripture read. I've got two that I'm going to share with you, and our special guest on the program will pick right up on these two. The first one is Mark 10, verse 45. It says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many." I sort of stumbled on that, so I'm going to read again. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And the companion verse with that is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. It says, "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Conley Gillum. Please stay with us.
Emotional pain and depression may indicate that someone is at risk for suicide, but the signs aren't always easy to see or discuss. Most people who take their lives exhibit one or more warning signs. Often the signs are subtle changes in mood, what they say, or how they act. Learn to recognize the warning signs. Suicide is preventable. Recognize it. Talk about it. Act on it. Learn more at RecognizeTalkAct.org, a message from the Virginia Department of Health.
Hi, this is Joe Thomas, and it's no secret there are big shoes to fill at WCHV. That's why I need your help. We're convening a listener advisory committee, and I'd like you to be part of it. Sure, it sounds like something Charlottesville City Council would do, but we've done it before, and it's been a great success. Just send me an email. You can find the link simply at WCHV.com and help be the future of Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV. And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only
one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle. Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, with us on the program. We have Conley Gillum. Conley, I don't think it's an accident that we have you. This program is airing on Easter Sunday. That must have been part of God's plan. I know my wife, who you're lifelong friends with, Mo Gaffney, she said, you need to get Conley back on the show. And of course, my mother, this will be a huge gift to her because she just thinks you are gifted and anointed. And so, Conley, thanks for saying yes.
I'm glad to be here, Jeff, and I'm happy to see your face.
Oh, it's fun. It's great. And kind of where to start with you. So it's Easter. I'm going to just dive right into it. I love to ask you questions. You handle everything. And I have a thought or two to share about this, but I'm going to ask you first. What kind of goes through your mind on Easter week? And I want, if you would, with your answer, don't think about Easter itself. So let's talk about Passion Week pre-resurrection. Mm-hmm. Where's your mind on this? And maybe kind of be thinking about the person who maybe stepped away from church for the last few years mm-hmm. and is just kind of tuning in today and listening. What does the Passion Week mean to you, Conley?
Well, Jeff, when I think about it, a couple things come to mind. And I think in a way, it's Jesus's intentional descent into darkness, into grief, into ultimately alienation from his Father that will be on the cross because of sin. And so in a sense, this is the week where I realize there is no deep, dark, deathly difficult place that Jesus has not gone to because the cross will only make its real eternal sense if it's down in the deepest, darkest parts of humanity. And this is his week where he's intentionally choosing to go there, ultimately on the behalf of all of us.
Yes, that is really wonderfully put, Conley. I hadn't thought of it like that. I'm going to tell you where my brain goes.
Yeah, tell us about your brain.
Dysfunctional. So I go here, and maybe it's because I've experienced this. Maybe some of our listeners who are riding along can kind of understand. But so I think about the first disciples of Jesus, you know, and you have Palm Sunday, where he's riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. We've got the palms out. Hail the King. Here he is. In he comes. And so if you're a disciple, me and my little brain on this, you know, you're riding along saying, this is great. This is great. This is great. This is awesome. This is great. This is great. Here we go. This is great. This is great. And then you get to this whole thing on the Last Supper, which would certainly freak you out. Because, you know, Jesus says it's not going to go the way you think it's going to go. And he explains what he's doing. But if you're a disciple, that's a whole lot to take in a very short amount of time. And then you get to Friday and the man that you're following, the God man, you at that moment in time think, oh my gosh, the whole thing, it's not real. It's not working because he's dying.
But see, that you and I are actually saying two sides of the same coin, because he's choosing to move essentially from the cheering right? The cheering. You're an athlete. You know what that's like to have a whole stadium, so to speak, of people cheering. He's moving from that into the jeering, right?
Yeah.
Jeering of his disciples. Why? Because it's that descent that he's willing to make on our behalf, including that those closest up to him are like, what are you doing?
Right.
What are you doing? But he is walking that path intentionally. And to move from cheering to jeering with intentionality, who does that?
And let's talk about Peter for a second, because gosh, he's such a big part of this, the Passion Week. So they're in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus knows what's about to go down because Judas has betrayed him, gone to line up the Sanhedrin and the chief priests and all else who are going to, and the Romans, they're all kind of colluding to arrest Jesus. And so Jesus knows what he's doing. And Peter, even after, I love this, after all this time, right at his side, what does Peter do but whip out his sword and cut off an ear, right? Because he's like, it's not going down like this.
Yes, that's exactly right. He's like, we are not going to be on the losing team because we know who this is. There is no way we're going to let this roll out like that.
That's right. Oh, gosh. Oh.
And Jesus is like, sit down, brother. He puts the ear back on the guy whose ear Peter has chopped off. And he's like, there is a bigger plan. I mean, that's what's so compelling to me, Jeff, about Jesus.
Yeah.
That he's paying attention to the crowds around him, and yet he is not controlled by the crowds around him. He is controlled by his in submission to his Father. And that's who he's listening to as he, in a sense, marches through this Holy Week.
Mm. I think that is so well put. You're so insightful, Conley, because Jesus knows what's the cross is in his immediate future, and he's being arrested. Peter chops off the ear. What's the name of the man? They name him in the Bible.
Yeah, I don't remember, to be honest.
Anyway, it's not important. But Jesus, instead of being sturdying himself for what lies before him, he takes the second to say, well, wait a second, that ear, we're going to put that.
Right, he heals him, right? Like, this is the guy who's going to take him away. And he's like, just a minute, Peter, relax and let me heal the ear. I mean,
yeah, right. And then he turns and, okay, take me, guys. Go ahead. All right. So now take us to Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. What are you kind of, what's going through your mind as you ponder, as you spend time with Jesus on Resurrection Sunday? Where do you go with that kind of mentally and spiritually?
Yeah, mentally, spiritually, and I guess just in a sense, internally. I think to myself that the worst human nightmares for this life and also for eternity, the worst human nightmares are never the end of the story because of the resurrection. Mm. And I think, the women who come to his tomb, they are bereft. They're upset. They're grieving. I mean, the guys they're like kind of fled out of there. And these women come to take care of his body. And when they realize that he's not there, this sort of, you can just imagine, like you said, this is hard to take in. Their minds and hearts and souls are probably freaking out, realizing death has been reversed. Mm. And maybe the story is going to have not just a good ending, but a more spectacular ending than they could have ever dreamed. So I think that interior experience for me is probably hope gets born inside of me each Easter, reborn in a way.
Mm, that is so well put. And, I think about it, in the terms again, I come back and I focus a lot on John and Peter who ran to the tomb. But then there seems to be this period of time. How long was Jesus with the disciples before he ascended. That's not another 40 days.
A 40 pops into my brain, but the fact that it pops into my brain doesn't mean it's right.
Yeah,
you probably pull out the scriptures.
Not important, but we're going to take a break in a second. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit. We'll just touch down on that and kind of what a difference as we get to read the Bible and we read about the crucifixion and then the resurrection and the ascension. Everything starts to line up, and Jesus lays out his plan for us, and we see it all come together, and we get to share in that as we read and study and ponder God's word, because he reveals himself to us in that way. We're going to take a quick break. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We'll be back in just a moment. More of our interview with Conley Gillum. Please stay with us.
What is love? You can't buy it at the store, but it can be found. Love is when the sun warms the back of your neck. Love is leaves crunching under your shoes. Love is the salt off the ocean breeze. Love is a person. Love is a moment. Love is a place. And when you're ready, it's here, waiting to be found. Virginia is for lovers. Furnished by Virginia Tourism Corporation.
Westwood One is your exclusive home for the 2021 NCAA Tournament. It's only fitting that a season unlike any other comes to a conclusion in the most unique circumstances. From 68 teams down to one, all in the same state. Every basket, buzzer beater, and bracket buster until a champion is crowned. Who will take home the title? Tune in to find out. All the excitement of March Madness right here.
Check out the full broadcast schedule online, and you can also listen live at WCHV.com.
And in your hour of desperation, no, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Happy Easter to everyone. Thanks for tuning in. We have Conley Gillum with us on the program today. Conley is a speaker, an author, a follower of Jesus. She's a member of the Navigators. Conley, I want to just talk real quick about your most recent book, And Yet Undaunted is the title. Could you give us just a little bit of update on the book?
Yes, thanks, Jeff. You know, it came out right before COVID. And basically what the book is about is discovering the goodness of God in the chaos of life. What is God's big story? What's he doing? And how does our life fit into his big story? So it's how do we walk with him through the chaos into his big eternal purposes?
Well, what like perfect timing, right? when you think about it, for that to happen, because all of us that we feel like we're at the end of the pandemic here, but you know, we've all had a little extra reflection time. Right. And so maybe can I just ask you to go a little bit deeper on that in terms of how does somebody who maybe they've stepped away from church or missed church altogether, and they feel so far from God. How do they get to a place or begin the journey of saying, hey, God, I want to partner with you?
Oh, my goodness, Jeff. But you just said it right there. You begin the journey by saying, hey, God, I want to partner with you. Because the nature of God, Jeff, is that he cannot resist that kind of invitation. So The person who's not just maybe been not paying attention, but has even turned their back towards God or just drifted away, all it takes is that simple lifting of one's eyes to the Lord and saying, here I am. I want to know you. I want to be with you. And I want to partner with you. And God, I mean, it sounds so small, but God will begin to do things. And obviously you pick up your Bible, you start connecting with any friend who might be open to conversation about these things. If there's a church you're connected with or curious about, you tune in or show up. They're the steps that we take. But honestly, God's heart is for the person who is humble enough to say, I need you.
Callie Gillum, that's good stuff. So it is Easter Sunday when this show is playing. I do want to circle back around, and could you take me maybe historically first, and then maybe a touch of emotionally for you? Take us to the empty tomb. And maybe just kind of walk us through what happens at the empty tomb, and then maybe kind of walk into like the significance of the empty tomb.
Yes. Well, as maybe most people know, but maybe not everybody these days, is that when Jesus was buried after he was taken down off the cross, he was left for dead in a tomb behind a gigantic, heavy, heavy boulder rock that was immovable, humanly speaking. And when disciples come and the women come to treat the body and to see what is happening, they realize that the rock has been moved and Jesus is gone. And, you know, of course, there'll be rumors that say, oh, Jesus's body was stolen and these different things. But according to the scriptures, it's because Jesus had actually risen again. And what does that mean? I mean, oh my goodness, Jeff, at the end of the day, it means death and all its cousins, like loss and grief and sadness and hopelessness and despair. Death does not have the final say in our lives as people. I mean, it opens the way into eternity, to the presence of God and one another for eternity in a new heavens and new earth. But even in this life now, it opens up the possibility of hope, and hope for the darkest places inside of us. So that's, if you're talking about what happens in the tomb, I mean, the tomb, which is the place of death, becomes the womb, which is a place of new life.
Wow. Okay, I've never heard it put that way. The tomb becomes the womb.
I know. I mean, it's kind of sort of stark imagery, but think about that. The places in our lives where we have the heaviest, darkest loss from our own sin, from somebody else's sin against us, from just the general chaos around us, those places, as we meet and know the Lord in them, can actually become these pathways to new life. And ultimately, it's eternal life with Jesus Christ.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host. Again, happy Easter to you. We have Conley Gillum with us on the program. And Conley, I want to go to this place respectfully to you. So I'm saying that on the front end.
Okay.
And it's just that if somebody didn't know the Conley Gillum life story, and they hear you talking, and they hear you so filled with joy and life, and okay, she's got this tomb and womb thing going on. What many of our listeners may not be aware of is the fact that you and I and everyone, we're not immune to suffering.
That's
and
right.
Pain. And so I guess I'm asking you if you could just, I'm gently asking if you could share in any ways how this tomb womb concept has helped you during the tough days of your life.
Yes, of course. I mean, you're asking a couple different things. And we talk about that in our book, And Yet Undaunted. Jeff, the main ways that I've had to grapple with this, I mean, I was a kid and I grappled with what it meant to know Jesus. But as an adult, I think there's probably three areas that forced me to have to grapple more deeply than I ever even had wanted to with Jesus and what it meant to know hope and life. The first was being single when I didn't expect to be. That comes with a whole set of things. Where is God in the midst of that? Then there was the accidental death of my 2-year-old nephew in a swimming pool. And then there was the accidental death of my 19-year-old nephew who fell off a building. And those deaths of children and the unintentional singleness became these areas that had the potential to lock me down, so to speak, in the tomb of disappointment, in the tomb of cynicism, in the tomb of despair. And I'm not saying as simple as going, oh, Jesus.
Right.
But in a sense saying, no, God, I want to meet you. I want to wrestle with you. I want to know you in these toughest places. Because if you're not showing up in the toughest places, then the rest is all just hooey. Mm. And so my journey has been in many ways shaped as an adult by wrestling with God in the toughest places.
Wow. And there's so many biblical examples of wrestling with God when you talk about kind of the transition all the way back in Genesis of Jacob to Israel. Was he came out of a dream encounter that he had with God, and he came out of that encounter and actually different person.
That's right. I mean, God is actually, he's interested in the hardest places and wrestling with us. Like, he loves us enough to get in the mess, right? He loves us enough to get in our mess, whatever our mess is. And you know, you talk about Easter. I mean, this is the beauty of it. One of his number one disciples was like, I'm on your team. I'm with you there always. Right. And then under pressure, Peter, what does he do? He freaks out. He gets insecure. He flails. He runs away. And when Jesus rises from the dead, what's the first thing he does, or one of the first things he does, is go back and go straight to that place with Peter, the place where Peter caved and crashed.
Right.
And he goes back in to meet him there. I mean, that's who Jesus is.
Mm. I have one last kind of topic I want to touch on with you, Connelly, and we're wrapping up the show on Everyday Faith Radio, but do you have any encouragement for the perfectionist? I think I encounter quite a few of the perfectionists, and I may fall into that category myself, where the hindrance on perfectionism is that you'll never live up. Yeah. Is that my life? It's just the score sheet is not going to cut it for God, and so therefore, let's take a left turn because I'm not worthy.
Right.
I have this rap sheet, or I have all these errors. I have all these mistakes. Another way of saying sin. Yes. And so as a result of my sin, I might as well not even go.
Yeah, I think there's actually some humility in that is actually a decent starting place, Jeff. So there's a lot of people who are like, psh, ain't nothing wrong with me.
Yeah.
And so to actually to be able to say, oh, my goodness, there's so much wrong with me is not actually a horrible thing. But then the question is, will we trust that God's eyes revealed in Jesus? I mean, we start reading about Jesus in the Bible and we look for what makes us want to attach to him. And the question becomes, do I see in God through the face of Jesus one who rejects me because of all of that, or one who says, of course, like, Jeff, that's all you got? That list? Oh, honey, no. So you got much more than that list, and I love you. I mean, so it in a way, for the perfectionist, it's going one step further than just the, oh my goodness, I'm so messed up, so jacked up in so many ways. It's then turning and saying, but will I receive the love of God that recognizes that in me and still wants me? And that brings a shift inside of us. If we'll take our eyes in the sense off of our own flaws and look into the eyes of the living God who really, I mean, it sounds cliched, but it's true. He really loves us and wants us.
It's so interesting that you pointed to humility out of that. I've never heard perfectionism tied to pride, which Bible very clearly says, you know, that God multiplies grace and favor over the humble. So, yes. But it's that humility part. Connelly, we're out of time. Yeah. Happy Easter to you.
Yes.
I want to pray for you, your ministry, your family.
Thank you.
All our listeners, my mother and her colleagues at Westminster Canterbury.
Hello, Jeff's mother.
She loves you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Conley Gillum, thanks for sharing the good news. Thanks for being the light.
Love being with you, Jeff.
Thank
Happy
you, friends.
Easter.
Talk soon.
The Joe Thomas in the Morning Show from the Automated Office System Studios on Seville 1075 and 1260 WCHV, AM and FM, Charlottesville.
The pandemic is still spreading. I'm Pam Puzo, Fox News. That message on Easter Sunday from Pope Francis.
And those who have lost a loved one, may the Lord give them comfort and sustain the valiant efforts of doctors and nurses.
For a second year, Mass was celebrated inside St. Peter's Basilica because of coronavirus restrictions that the Pope said he prays will be lifted. He also called on wealthy nations to distribute vaccines to poorer countries. No one was hurt and there's no damage, but an Iraqi official says two rockets landed near an airbase north of Baghdad where American trainers are present. Last month, an American contractor was killed when a base in western Iraq was bombarded with at least 10 rockets. Economic blowback is being felt in Georgia in response to the state's new voting laws. For starters, Major League Baseball won't play the All-Star game in Atlanta.
Democrats want other Georgia-based businesses to take a stand as well, while former President Trump is calling on fans to boycott the games. Georgia's Republican Governor Brian Kemp, who signed the voting bill into law last week, says he will not cave.
Fox's John Scott, Democrats maintain the laws unfairly restrict